Chime, Gary Numan.
It's a good one right here. I like it. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's from your youth and my youth.
Oh, yeah.
1980, I would guess, if I had to guess.
That was a good one.
1981, I would guess, if I had to guess. Chime. But great. Chime, take your request.
1979. Nice try, though.
79.
Close.
They all run together in my head since I'm old. We are at the Audrain Automobile Museum, Newport, Rhode Island. Flex Friday Roadshow with a whole bunch of great Rhode Island people. Good morning. Hello. Thank you. You guys are unbelievable.
This place is so cool. Even if you're not a massive car person, like, I know that Wiggy is big into cars. I can appreciate a beautiful vehicle.
Yeah.
This place has me in awe.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think about $25 million worth of automobiles here. Mm.
Wow.
Just here. Thank the crew, Chris and his crew over at the Newport Gulls for coming by with some merch. Huge baseball guy right here.
Oh.
So Wiggy, you could take in, unfortunately they're not playing like the Red Sox, but you could take in a game when you come back. Are you going to come back to Newport?
I am. I'm going to try to come back in the summertime to see if I can maybe drive one of these things around.
Well, you can actually, I believe at the end of today's show, John and the team here have arranged for you to drive away from the show today during the 9 o'clock hour in an unbelievable vehicle. So,
okay.
We'll try to see if we can figure out getting that on Twitch, and
All right.
We can end the show.
If it's too nice, you're going to be like, Wiggy, come back. I'll be right down I-24, right to the city.
Yeah.
How were the accommodations last night for you?
Oh, really good. Really nice. Yeah, really.
Balcony?
We didn't get a balcony, but we had a nice water view.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hotel has all like little fire pits and everything, so which is really cool. We hung out there for a minute, but this is I've never been in Newport, Rhode Island, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it
the
really
boats,
is.
Man.
All right, we're gonna get to guest leads coming up, and then we're gonna talk to Jelani Tavai. But right now, we gotta get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to start, Chime? I'm assuming with the report that was then later on not a report and has disappeared from the interwebs.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we should begin. So Evan Lazar was on a podcast for Patriots.com and was talking about the possible mutiny in the locker room for the New England Patriots. Here is what Lazar said.
Right now, they're teetering on mutiny in that locker room. And I don't want to be alarmist or like hyperbolic, thank you. I don't. But I was in that locker room after the game on Sunday. The defense is mad at the defense. The offense is mad at the offense. You have young receivers who are literally throwing tantrums on film. And Pop Douglas and Jalen Polk, and good on Pop Douglas for owning that this week and walking, kind of saying that he's got to be better and all that kind of stuff. But I said this before, and I'll say it again. You're at the point now with 52 other guys in that locker room that all watch these two quarterbacks practice every single day, that all know that they drafted Drake May 3rd overall. And at what point in time does some of these guys say to themselves, why am I going out there and getting my butt kicked every single Sunday and Drake can't? Like, why am I going out there with a quarterback who can't get me the football when we have the Ferrari back in the garage that can get me the football? But I'm Jalen Polk. I'm supposed to go run every single route as hard as I can, and I'm supposed to, go lay it all out on there for the team. What team?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, he did later on try to walk that back, and he suggests that he's not trying to be dramatic. But, I mean, that's somebody who's there all the time. That's
right.
Somebody who works for the organization.
And has been there in that locker room, not just with Patriots.com, but he has worked in this area, in this region for a very long time. He's been in Patriots locker rooms for a long time.
And we know Pop Douglas was complaining about getting touches anyways.
Yeah.
We had the conversation.
Yep.
So he's not telling us something that we don't know.
But I don't understand it. Like, Tom Curran reported that basically on either Jones and Keefe or on the afternoon show, where he said, I think he even used the word teetering.
Oh, did he?
I
didn't hear that.
It's different when you're Tommy Curran and you work for NBC and, like, you're outside, you're in it, but you're not paid by the organization. I think for Evan Lazar, if you are Robert Kraft and you see this report or you hear this report, you're like, whoa, no, this is supposed to be decently pro-Patriots at all time while being honest.
I also think it's the word mutiny is a different word. I mean, that means that the players are essentially wanting to take over and tell Gerard Mayo what he needs to do when it comes to Drake May.
But here's what I think. I think Gerard Mayo's part of a mutiny against the front office and the ownership. Because I do. I think Gerard Mayo wants Drake May to play.
Yeah.
Don't you guys think that?
I think he does. So this is an absolute – this is dysfunction.
Oh,
I mean, the fact that – say what you want about Bill and his style and – I'm going to be honest. We would never be in a situation like this, Greg. You're right. If there were whispers, they would be after the season. There wouldn't be people, you know, openly pouting in locker rooms to the media. So, and
you
and
guys forgot last year?
He
didn't talk to the starting quarterback.
Yeah, but nobody knew about
that. Is that dysfunction?
Nobody knew about that until the
Boston Herald story cites 20 players.
But it's all sources. It's not people actually saying it like with their face and name behind them.
Which player said we're going to have a mutiny?
We have defensive players going out there saying that there are guys being selfish on their own team. They're calling out their own teammates. We never had that.
Bob Douglas said it. He said, he basically said he needs, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, get me the damn football.
Yeah.
Like he was Jerry Rice. I mean, so you got guys that are six round picks.
Last year you had a guy bitch about interest in DeAndre Hopkins and he got a raise after complaining about DeVante Parker.
No, but Curtis, that's about bitching about getting more money.
Right. When you publicly complaining about something and then being rewarded for it.
When you look at this team and we look at Bill's 20 plus years here, there's always been situations, but I don't think it's ever and this is only Mayo's seventh month on the job?
Yes.
So I could see if this was 5-6 years in, guys get a little testy.
No, if you're 5-6 years in, you've built credibility with people where you don't have to earn trust.
Then you start rubbing people the wrong way. I think that's what happened with Bill.
Yeah, I just think what happened in the end with Bill is what happens with bad teams. If you're a bad team, there's a lot of dysfunction. When you have a chance to be a playoff team, no matter what you feel about – I think Tom and Bill were like that. As long as they were both performing and going in the same direction, they got along fine.
This also is what happens when you neuter your head coach. It feels like the guy wants to start Drake May. It sounds like it. Everything he says is that Drake May outplays Jacoby Brissett, and yet Drake May isn't in the games.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He did. He said it again this week on this show. He said again that Drake May outperformed Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
When training camp was done, Drake May was the better player. So I think that obviously leads to issues in that locker room where guys are like, hey, I thought the best guy played.
Right.
I thought the best guy was the starter.
Right.
The getting hurt part is the worst.
Yeah.
Because if they're saying, okay, so they're protecting this guy from getting hurt, but they don't care about me on this bad team, that's
bad. If you're Polk or Pop Douglas and Drake May's in there and he doesn't get the ball to you, I don't think you're as performative with your disgust on the field, because at least you know this is a guy you're going to be growing with.
Right, he's a rookie and whatever. He's learning the offense like we are.
Brissett just popping the ball in his hand and throwing it over your head to a wide-open San Francisco 49er for their touchdown, you're like, what am I doing here?
All right, well, it is possible. Wow. I guess it is possible that the New England Patriots locker room is teetering on a mutiny. What else, Shine?
Well, let's pivot to an actual good team in this city, and let's go to the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown made an appearance on Hot Ones after being on the cover of Time Magazine. Then he was on the epic YouTube show Hot Ones and talked about the Celtics' offensive mentality. We heard Joe Mazzulla's quote in the offseason about animal predators. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like that's coming to fruition with this team. Here was Jaylen Brown.
One of the things he's coined is we call our offense or like the killer whale offense, and we attack seals because killer whales, like how they hunt seals, and we study like how killer whales attack as a unit, and then we built our offense kind of like off of like killer whales. So Joe definitely has like a bunch of crazy stuff, but like it's a method to his madness, and it obviously works.
There it is. There's a method to the madness that guys are buying into.
Best coach in the NBA. Best coach in the NBA, Wiggy.
Best coach in the NBA. Method to his madness. Your superstar player is saying, we get it. We understand it. We buy into it. When do you see NBA players talking like that? I mean, like superstar NBA players.
Like it's a group effort.
And that's what I mean when you're talking about being the best coach in the league. It's not just about X's and O's, especially in the NBA. It's about coaching and managing personalities that are so extreme. We're talking about it with Mayo. Guys willing to run through a brick wall. If you're torn because of the way the locker room is and how the coach is reacting, then that is part of you not being a good enough coach because you can't communicate.
Joe Mazzulla is so Huberman coded. Like, he is drinking the Kool-Aid and it's working. Like, he is between the mouth tape and now they're talking about killer whales and seals. I'm buying what he's
selling.
Give
me some of that grape Kool-Aid with some extra sugar in it.
Yep.
All right, what else, Sean?
One more quick one for you here. Lamar Jackson clapped back at all the people who get mad at him and others about missing their parlays. And this is what he said in the media yesterday.
You got to understand, we human too. You know, we seeing that, like, we going in there, we trying to win games. You know, all our life we played football. We got to this, the highest level, the professional level, to win games and not to help people parlay. We're not betting on the games. You know, we can't even bet on games and stuff like that. So we're not worried about that. And I don't believe we're going into games worried about stats either. You know, we're worried about the W column, you know, the win-loss column. We're not trying to lose. So we go out there and just try to do what teammates do, you know, try to help each other out. This guy might run someone else on the route to get this guy open. Just being team players, and we don't dwell on parlays. But I see a lot of people like to make comments in our comment section or in our DMs. But then when we address them in our DM, they want to make it public. So it's like, it is what it is, man. We trying to win.
So stay out of his DMs.
Yeah.
Stay out of his comments. You lose a bet, that's on you. It's not on Lamar Jackson. Okay,
yep.
I understand. Is it that big? We talked about this a while ago. Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
But it's social media. Like, why does he?
Well, I mean, players, like, you know, and we talked, Greg, you're right. We talked about this when this first time. There are going to be guys that would be yelling and screaming about, you know, if they see players in there at the game, you know, people in live betting in games and then getting an opportunity to see that guy after the game who didn't get you the touchdown. I mean, I felt the same way with C.D. Lamb when I parlayed him, Jamar Chase, and DK Metcalf, and he didn't score. Yeah. If I would have saw CD, I would have slid in his DM like, bruh, you fumbled at the 4-yard line. Come on, man.
Shine, be honest. You DM athletes after you lose?
Never once. I would never stoop to such lows. I just DM myself like, you bleeping idiot.
All right. Well, that is They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we're going to get to some guest leads. Hopefully you brought a guest lead with you this morning here in Newport. Coming up at 7:45, so half an hour away, we'll talk to Jelani Tavai about the current state of the Patriots locker room and about the Miami Dolphins in that game on Sunday. And then Jay Leno will join us here at about 8:45 this morning at the Audrain Automobile Museum in Newport as a part of the entire Audrain Concours Motor Week, which is going on now here in Newport and all weekend long. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Falcons took down the Bucks last night in OT. Final score 36-30. Kirk Cousins completed 42 of 58 passes for a 509 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception. And it'll be the Mets that are taking on the Phillies in the NLDS after a wild win over the Brewers last night. A Pete Alonso 3-run homer in the 9th gave them the 4-2 win. A former Sox leader is coming out of retirement. Terry Francona is set to return to the league as the manager for the Reds. And we do have an update.
Who would you rather next year as your manager of the Red Sox, Cora or Francona?
Probably Terry Francona.
Same.
If
let's just play this out. They don't extend Cora at the deadline. They finish the way they did. And you get wind that, not that he'd ever worked for this ownership group because of what they did to him, but you get wind that Francona is willing to come back. I would have chosen Francona.
But is he the kind of guy, maybe it's not the same in, I assume it is in Major League Baseball, but it's kind of always been this way, but is he the old head guy who is not going to be able to relate to today's work balance, like work-life balance player? Or, I think
baseball is different, though.
Yeah, and I think he did a good job in Cleveland. Those teams were pretty young.
I don't think it's that different, though, because we heard from Craig Breslow, and he said that they've had to figure out, they have to take a look at, are they working the guys too hard, and that's why they have that fall off after All-Star break.
I think in baseball, like, you don't have to deal with, like, in basketball, big egos. In football, you have to deal with.
I think you got to deal with
baseball.
Big egos.
No, the biggest egos in sports.
Yeah.
No. But in basketball, like, in basketball, you got to make sure these guys are happy they're getting the ball. In baseball, like, if a guy's a great player or he's got a big ego, guess what? He can go up to the plate and determine whether how many hits he gets. In football, you need a quarterback to throw you the ball. You need an offensive coordinator to call the plays.
Yeah.
In basketball, you need to get the ball.
But you're with these guys for 162
games.
No,
I get that, but I just think that, you know, like, they're baseball players determine their outcome because all they have to do is make sure they're getting the at-bats.
All right, well, good for Terry Francona.
Oh, I mean, love it.
Great guy and kind of was not treated well here, so
nope.
Good on him.
Yep. We have an update on Rashee Rice as we continue into week 5 of play. He's been placed on IR with a knee injury. He'll be out for at least 4 games. Patriots game on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff against the Dolphins at Gillette. And before that, tomorrow, BC at UVA at 1. You can listen to that right here on EEI. Quickly, no surprise here, Caitlin Clark wins the WNBA Rookie of the Year, getting 66 out of the 67 votes. And kids eat free at the 99 restaurant every Sunday in October and on Halloween. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids can get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
The best thing about having a 2-year-old is you're always around chicken fingers, and there's nothing better. 54 degrees, partly cloudy afternoon, high of 73.
Nice afternoon. There's a big event today at the Newport Mansion, the famous Doris Duke Mansion, Curtis. Do you know who Doris Duke was?
I do not.
The tobacco heiress.
How has she not been canceled?
There's been movies about her. Very, very wealthy woman. Weather good for
you? It's going to be about 72 degrees, low humidity, winds out of the south-southwest.
All right, we're going to get to your guest leads coming up next here in Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday Roadshow on WEI.